Welcome to Idle Red Hands, a podcast from Japan about gaming and gamer life. And welcome back to Idle Red Hands. I'm Chris.
I'm Wayne.
I'm Lyle.
Yujiro.
Yeah! Hey. Welcome back, Yujiro.
Thanks.
Yeah. Long time no see.
Very long time.
Or I spent a long time no cast anyway, but...
Just spent the day with him.
Work with him, you know.
See him quite often, almost every Sunday.
I finally saw the movie, the live action Battleship Yamato.
And the word really is finally. Weren't you talking about that like 6 months ago?
Yeah, it took a while to get it. Yeah, I ordered it on Discus, the kind of the Netflix of Japan.
Yeah, right.
I guess there was quite a queue on that.
So. Oh, really? You just go to the rental shop to die and grab it.
But I get the monthly subscription, so now I just don't go to the video store.
Okay, right on.
Yeah. So it's people like you that are killing the video rental industry.
No, it's movies like Battleship.
So I take it was an excellent cinematic masterpiece.
I thought it was like, you got big ships, big space battleships, and... I would say the best looking woman in Japan.
Wow. Really? I might have to watch it just for that.
Kuroki Mesa. But, it's not like she's wearing, clothes the whole time.
Oh, really? Is that the tight catsuit, thingy that they wear in the anime?
It would be like a flight suit.
Not tight, though?
Not terribly.
Not tight enough.
Not tight enough.
But not ill-fitting.
With a jacket.
Well, I found,
A turtleneck is in there.
Yeah. Oh, wow. That's a shame.
I found generally that, what looks good on anime looks horrible in real life, so.
Right.
I don't know. Some of those cosplay things. Yeah,
but you know what? If you find a hot cosplay chick and take her out of the costume, she's still hot.
Yeah.
Right? So, it's the person who's making the costume hot.
But I see a whole lot of ugly trying to dress themselves up.
I do too.
Cosplay.
Well, yeah, don't get me wrong.
And you know what?
Ugly one way or the other.
Does the costume make them any less ugly? No.
Well, I think for some people it does.
Depending on the amount of makeup. I mean,
all right.
You know,
This one time I took a chick home and then makeup came off. Oh my God.
Well, you know, that's
a true story.
No, I was trying to make fun of Chris because he said, I don't know, I'll put a lot of makeup on.
Chris wouldn't take the makeup off. Right. One time I took this chick home and everything stayed on.
And I do mean everything.
We had some popcorn, talked a little bit. She started crying.
I played her love songs on my guitar in the morning. Yeah. I thought, how can you mess this up? And I honestly fell asleep halfway through and then woke up and it was really bad. It was an all-star cast, but when you ever watch, you watch Japanese movies and it has somewhat of a budget, they're always all-star cast because they seem to have a really small pool of actors in which they will put cast into the movies or the TV shows. And,
but it just doesn't,
they put their best actor, who's actually a genuinely funny comedic actor, and he was the engineer, kind of like your Scotty, and all his lines were like, we're at 100% power, now we're at 120% power.
Now we're at 130.
How much longer?
I can't give her any more, Captain!
No, I think it capped out at 120%. It's like, well, why don't you just make that 100%?
What?
All right, anyway.
It's going up to 11.
And then I think he also said it would take 20 minutes to recharge something. And that was it.
Did it take 20 minutes?
I didn't time
it. Or that's when you fell asleep.
But see, that's the thing. When you say an all-star cast, I mean, it had Takuya Kimura. I mean...
But he's a star.
He's a star.
He's not a good actor.
Exactly. So that doesn't really make it a good
movie. So Lyle said an all-star cast, not an all-good cast.
I mean, he was chosen because he has a nice face, so. But.
Yeah, and the guy they had playing the captain seemed to have taken his acting cues from the very limited animation of a 1970s anime, where nothing moves except for maybe the mouth. Honestly, he's like, there's no reaction, it's like they're showing explosions on the ship. The special effects weren't bad for a Japanese movie. And there's explosions on the ship and nothing. No expression.
Oh, he's supposed to be stoic.
Yeah, exactly. Yeah. I was going to say
stoic
the same thing.
And there's dead. And he's like, quick, poke the captain. See if he's still alive. Is he sleeping? I don't know. It's funny. You know, they have the people who've seen the anime. I think, Yujiro, you have seen the anime?
No, way back when.
Right.
So it has a massive gun.
Ooh, yeah.
And then they're like, how much power? We're at 100%. Okay, well, wait till we get 120% for whatever reason. And then they still do the countdown then. Okay, we're at 120%. And then they do a countdown. 5, 4, 3. And it's all they're doing is pressing it, pulling the trigger. But why are you doing the countdown? And then we even had like Kim Taku is by himself on the battleship. And he's got 120% power. He's still doing the countdown. 5. No one can hear you.
He can hear himself.
What are you?
In space.
Prepping your
hand. One can hear your countdown.
You don't want to surprise the computer or something.
But we'll do it anyway. But it's funny because it was...
Well, wait, sorry. Yeah. So if he does a countdown and no one's around to hear it, does it make a noise?
No. Well, they put a camera there to capture that.
All right, sorry. Go ahead.
But they still use all the Japanese drama cliches and tropes where they start a conversation not looking at the person, looking away.
Mm-hmm, yeah.
Or somebody goes.
And the dramatic turn.
And it's even funny, like, you can everybody knows the script, mm-hmm. but just the reactions of people, it's just so obvious they know the script because it was like, stop, and boom, instantly stop. There's not like moving a little, mm-hmm. stop. So I can monologue a little bit. Not to you.
Yeah, because to your away back. From
you. it was pretty bad. It's pretty bad. Hmm. Oh, yeah. Nah, there's so many different shades of bad in that movie.
All of them bad.
There's the action sequences where they're just shooting at nothing. Like, if people are on, let's say, the second floor, there was no, like, buildings like that, but if they're shooting at one elevation, the guys are clearly shooting at the elevation below. Just random. Of course, the endless ammunition.
Just like standing in front of a green screen and just going,
Yeah, like you can definitely tell the guys are like, yeah, just shoot. Where? Just shoot. Yeah, we'll animate it later. And then they had the...
Didn't you say there was the robot?
No, the robot. Yeah, I was telling you about the robot. So there's Kim Taku's talking to this AI, and then he goes into the ship and he plugs in the AI into it. It's like a handheld thing. It's like he plugged an iPod. Maybe it was an iPod. A charming little iPod it was. And then they're being overwhelmed by the aliens. So then they go, all right, robot, do your thing. And of course the robot like ejects itself from the fighter where he was. And he's kind of like R2-D2 with arms and legs.
Right.
And two big badass machine guns. And he mows down all these aliens. And you're like, why didn't you do that to me?
Yeah. Let's start with this tactic.
Yeah. It's like,
cause is anyone else going to watch the movie? You know,
I'm sure a lot of people will do it. I mean, people will be aware of it in North America.
I think Battleship Yamato has a pretty not a big following, but I think it's famous enough. Yeah.
Yeah,
I mean, it's a giant battleship with a giant gun. How could that go wrong?
Apparently it did. Yeah,
but I find that
they actually kind of ruin one of the space battles because then it's doing the same thing as what they were doing when they're firing their machine guns.
Yeah,
it's just firing. Into nothing.
Yeah.
So it even kind of wasted that.
Which is weird, because when you have like that kind of CG stuff going on, I mean, it doesn't... If you're making a CG ship shooting at something, why don't you make the other ship there? It's not like it's really going to cost you that much more. But
yeah. So speaking of big robots with machine guns, part of the reason why we're doing the cast today is to talk about the games we just finished playing, which was Privateer Press's War Machine and Horse. So I finally got you guys all over and forced you to play.
Hey, yeah, you had a few people. I had a little mini, not tournament, but a few games going on.
I was actually surprised how many people I got over. There were, six people.
So you didn't exactly give us a choice. You said all of you are coming.
Well, I did? I mean...
You could have said no.
You could have said I'm busy.
You actually have free will.
Yeah, you could have said I don't want to.
And you exercise that free will quite a bit.
Yeah.
It's not like you're shy about saying no, you
troll. Yeah. I wanted to come, so...
All right. Well, I'm glad people showed up. So, it was kind of, I've talked about it on the podcast before, and it was kind of a way to introduce some people to a miniatures game, and also kind of to, I guess, Lyle, to have you try it again, because...
Yeah, Remix? Was it called Remix?
Yeah, we played Mark 1 of the rules, kind of the first edition of the rules.
But kind of the revised first edition.
Yeah. And
I'd never played Hordes.
Oh, yeah. But... We kind of got turned off with those rules the first time.
So we played the Prime Remix, but what is War Machine in general? In case people don't know War Machine or Hordes.
Sorry, my mistake. It's a 30mm scale tabletop war game. So in other words, you have the little sort of model figures that you assemble and paint, and then there's kind of like a combat game that goes along with them. similar to Warhammer 40,000 or Warhammer Fantasy, or I think Infinity is another popular one.
It started with Iron Kingdoms.
Yes.
During the D20 kind of craze.
Mm-hmm. Yeah,
that's actually when third edition, D&D third edition came out, it was like a kind of a fantasy steampunk.
Yeah.
Then they kind of created this miniature game where you had these like war jacks, these steampunk robots with their war casters, kind of like your techno wizards.
Yeah.
Fighting it out.
I think Privateer Press is kind of revamping the RPG line later this year.
Really? Oh, I heard that. Yeah that's cool. That's kind of not relatively recently.
I've never read Iron Kingdoms, but I know a lot of fans of it. So
Wayne's got the player's book for
Is it good?
I actually haven't read all of it because I've been busy doing other stuff. But I found the miniatures game first, and I'm kind of after a while became sort of a fan of the setting.
Mm-hmm.
So I think I'm kind of sort of predisposed to like the RPG.
Cool.
So anyway, as we were saying, you and I kind of got turned off to the first version of the rules.
A little
that
bit.
We played. I think mostly because it was so very different from games like Warhammer 40,000 that both you and I played.
Were you guys fans of Warhammer 40,000?
Yeah. I started with Warhammer Fantasy Battle,
mm-hmm.
and then I moved on to 40K.
Cool.
Yeah, I really like the setting mm-hmm. for both of them, and I like both games.
Cool.
I actually started the other way around. I started with 40K.
I love 40K.
And then I actually liked the GW's Lord of the Rings game better than 40K.
Yeah, and I did. I played that with you, and I really enjoyed that. Yeah. I really love the cavalry.
Because it's such a small... Yeah. You can play with such a small number of points.
I think it has a really good mechanics system, the Lord of the Rings one as well.
It's a lot simpler.
Yeah. But we're not talking about that one today.
I guess one of the things that turned me off with War Machine, and to be honest, I like steampunk.
Mm-hmm.
I don't love steampunk. So when I play a fantasy game, I'd actually prefer to play something more like Warhammer Fantasy Battle. If I play a science fiction game, I'd probably more like to play something like 40K
mm-hmm.
or Battletech. So yeah, steampunk's kind of that in-between.
Right.
So when you watch like Lord of the Rings and you're like, yeah, I want to fight the orcs and I want to be, you know, the high elves or the wood elves, just fighting them off. Mm-hmm. And then you can gravitate towards Lord of the Rings game or to Warhammer Fantasy Battle, right. But it's, you know, a bit of a stretch, or it's one step removed.
To then toss a dreadnought into the mix.
Yeah, maybe if you were watching a lot of steampunk movies or reading steampunk books, then it'd be good. You know, I want to reenact that battle.
Mm.
So there was that thing, but I don't dislike steampunk. I found there was a lot of little fiddly rules.
There
and
are
a lot of combinations, so mm-hmm. maybe it had a high learner's curve?
Yes.
Or a high learning curve?
It's not a learner's curve, it's a learner's plateau. It's like a sheer cliff you have to climb up, pretty much.
Yeah.
There's no gradual up.
It's like a learner's Everest.
Yeah.
Yeah, I definitely agree with that.
Yeah. Yeah, so we played the first version of the rules and kind of got turned off, and you were lucky enough to kind of ditch all your figures.
Yeah, I was able to trade them all for 40K stuff.
Yeah. I wasn't. I just kind of hung on to my figures because I couldn't get rid of them, and then maybe like a year or two later, they came up with the revised Mark II edition of the rules.
Mm-hmm.
And I said, I've got the figures. I might as well invest in getting the book and see what's different between the rule sets. And I think Privateer Press, they did a lot better job sort of cleaning up the rules and making things, if not simple, slightly simpler.
Mm-hmm.
And cleaned up some issues that had been in Mark I and kind of just went from there. And now, as people can see, I probably have a whole wall devoted to unbuilt War Machine models.
Well, most of them are built. They're all silver, but...
Yeah, okay. Well, that's because you don't see the boxes that are stacked behind each other. Right?
There's actually no separation wall between
there's
the living
boxes
room and bedroom,
stacked
right?
like 3 and 4 deep back there.
Yeah, I'm a little bit surprised how many models you have.
Yeah, that's why I was kind of eager to have you guys go over and play. Like, I can't keep funding the hobby when I have no one to play with. Tony, but you, Drew, and Chris, you got a chance to play sort of the new Mark II. Well, not exactly new now, but what did you guys think?
It sucked.
And the Hordes.
Oh, yeah, we also...
is it called Hordes Mark II?
Yes, it's also Hordes Mark II.
Okay.
So we played the new versions of the games, and Chris, you said it sucked. So
no,
would you like
to
elaborate?
Sorry, it's just a joke.
All right.
Kind of nobody laughed. It's, oh, wait, that's serious. That's
but you did sound quite serious.
No, it's... I had fun. I had a lot of fun. It was a very enjoyable day, even though I had lost pretty badly. But, I kind of won. Anyway, I don't like collectible miniature games or collectible card games from the beginning just because I don't have the money for it. So it's not something that I would ever try out myself if it weren't for that, but I'm definitely happy to have had the chance of it. I was really big into 40K back in the day, and to this day I still love playing it. And if I were to compare the two, I think 40K more suits me. But yeah, I enjoyed it. It was fun.
I've had no tabletop war game experience.
Ooh, a tabletop
movie. Really? Well, you played 4E.
Yeah, 4E is very close. To be honest, 4E is kind of close to a tabletop miniatures game, close, slightly.
Not quite. Busting out the tape measure, that's probably the thing I didn't enjoy, but...
Really? Yeah. I thought that would have been right up your alley. That.
Well, I know you love the grid, but...
But, you know, I have to, like, try to make sure it doesn't hit the tree and knock over that guy, or, like, move this unit, like...
To be fair, the tape measures I got were from the Hyakuyen shop, so they were a bit thicker than I would have preferred.
One of them's the Games Workshop tape measure.
Yeah, the one that you guys used.
Oh, okay. The one that was on my table.
The one that was on your table, which is a thinner
thing,
yeah. Whereas the Hyakuyen ones were quite thick, maybe almost like 2 or 2.5
a dollar centimeters.
Sword, yeah, exactly.
With the big Games Workshop starter box kit, it comes with like these long, thin sticks that have inches measured out on them. So
I hated those things because they were always warped.
I don't particularly like those. Yeah, they're always warped.
Well, a friend of mine had a little cord and he marked off inches on that. And that was really useful because then you could actually curve it around.
That's actually a pretty good decent idea.
That would have come in handy in some of the.
You know what the most useful thing we ever had? One of the guys just had a laser keychain. It was so good for line of sight.
Yeah.
Stick it on top of the guy.
You can actually buy buy a Games Workshop one.
Almost happened.
You can buy a Games Workshop laser pointer for only about like $20. Anyway, sorry, we cut you off. You drew about not having any sort of tabletop experience.
Oh, yeah. But I still love the game. And every game I played, I learned a new rule. Yeah, even though I think I only played like a combined, I think 6-7 rounds, maybe after 3 games, but still had fun.
Cool. Well, the game generally does, it doesn't last that many number of turns, to be honest.
It was pretty quick.
And I'll say, I designed sort of thematic scenarios that people could play as, rather than just playing a free-for-all battle. Which is fine. That's fine.
Yeah, I won mine, I'm happy.
The only thing is, like, the win condition is sort of, you kill the opposing general. And when that happens, the game ends, and, you know, the person loses. I thought that could end the game rather quickly. So I designed objectives that would hopefully encourage people to play longer, but still get a feel for the rules, and I found that everybody just went for the caster kill, so, okay.
Yeah. Oh, all three tables did.
Yeah, all three tables pretty much just ignored the objective and said, I want to smash things.
Well, not necessarily. Like I said, I played for the objective.
Oh, yeah.
Yeah. But afterwards, we were having so much fun. We're like, yeah, well, okay, I won, but let's keep going.
All right.
And then he killed me. Should have quit while I was ahead.
Maybe if the points carried over, and we totaled up all the points at the very end of all these games, maybe some of us would have gone for the 3-point kill. Cause...
Lyle and I actually discussed that. I suggested to Lyle, like, maybe I should do, like, a ladder. But then Lyle said, kind of agreed with my cons that I had sent over, and it said it may sort of discourage people from playing in other rounds, meaning I only got 1 point. I'm the only person who, like, got a low score. I don't want to play the next round.
Well. Yeah. I mean, controlling giant robots and kicking the shit out of other people. I mean,
who doesn't want to do that?
Exactly.
Even when you're on the losing side. Like, the last game I played, I just trampled over a whole bunch of Scorn soldier type guys, and I rolled over my own war caster apprentice.
Oh yeah,
nuked my own warjack. But it was so fun.
Yeah, that poor apprentice guy, because he like walked over him, and then you nuked his jack. And that's
yeah, he actually lived. He wasn't supposed to live. I was supposed to be.
You are a horrible person.
Yeah, exactly.
In that movie, you aren't supposed to live. When you hang a man, you better hang him up.
Oh, because he blocked my sight. I was actually
You're in my way.
Yeah. My own troops are in my way?
It wasn't personal. Jacob, you just blocked the line of sight.
You were just in the way.
One warcaster in the way.
Yeah, I kind of thought, for some reason, I thought you would gravitate towards the more, cutthroat or unscrupulous factions, where they would do that. Granted, I did it random draw. But, yeah, you got awarded the most, like, stand-up faction and then still continued to kill your own guys.
Yeah, with your idea, yeah, he still was very cutthroat and,
yeah.
Yeah, like, I don't know, this was what I was saying before. One of my criticisms of it as a system is it's very similar to Magic, and that might actually be a bonus to some people, but even after playing three games, two and a half really, I was still learning new rules, and it wasn't the basic rules of the game. By that point, I'd figured that out, but every model has the potential to have new powers and new cards and new tricks to it, and new character models, they have different feats. And if you don't know your enemy's force, it's really easy for them to pull a fast one on you.
Ooh, like my first
game. For example.
Where the, what was it? The undead assassin guy?
Oh, yeah.
Attacked my troll warlock, who had a bunch of healing abilities, but the assassin prevented all of them.
Exactly.
Yeah.
Yeah, you were talking, like, for people that don't know, War Machine and Hordes, they provide cards, or you buy cards of all the different units or characters or warjacks and beasts. And you were saying, Wayne, prior to the podcast, that makes it more convenient.
For me personally, I find that
because all the information
convenient.
Is on a card. But what I think, though, because, yeah, the information is quite conveniently laid out, it's actually encouraged them to add all these things and all these abilities to the different units and different warjacks and different beasts and that. So it becomes quite difficult both to keep track of yours, but also to keep a track of your opponents. And sure, opponents' units and that. Sure, you can ask for them to hand over the card and read through it, but it gets kind of tiring. So my second impression is it's the same game. Mm. Like, they might have changed some rules, but it still became a case of, sorry, what does that do? Can I see it? All right, see that. Okay, so what do they do? What are the three abilities they can do? It was real difficult to keep track, and then I was real rusty with the rules. I didn't remember most of them. So then, of course, you got the basic rule set, then you've got all the things that I think is a selling point for a lot of people. Absolutely. Is, you know, throwing and headbutting and trampling and all of that. So there's kind of like, let's say, an intermediate set of rules.
Right.
Plus there's, you know, your the stuff on your cards, the stuff on your opponent's cards. So yeah, there was a lot of stuff to keep track of.
Yeah.
And again, it was about combos. And I think that makes it really tough to balance a game. And one thing is, I think a lot of like buff spells definitely favor units. So you weren't, you had how many different armies playing? 6 different armies.
Yeah.
But it was limited the amount of miniatures that were on. So you would have pretty much a warjack heavy army on one side and then one that was kind of war beasts and a unit.
Yeah.
And I would say that the one with the units has a bit of an edge. Because when the warlock or the warcaster can buff a unit versus buffing a warjack, the unit's going to come out ahead.
Just because there's more.
Yeah, because there's more. And
there's more bodies.
At the end of the day, you're rolling dice. So if you've got 10 chances to roll that die versus one, roll those dice versus one, you have a better chance to kind of balance out any bad luck, good luck. And that.
Yeah, one of the drawbacks sort of with any miniature game is, unless you use proxies, right? Unless you use, like, models that represent other models, you're pretty much stuck with using the models you have.
Or spending
a lot of money. And so, yeah, I tried to balance the forces between the two sides that were playing, but the limitation was, these are the models I have. So, yeah, like, definitely I can see that the units sort of do come out ahead.
Yeah.
And that was one of the big criticisms in the first version of the rules.
Yeah.
Is that the kind of running joke was, we should call this game Infantry Machine because nobody takes warjacks. Because infantry are just way better points cost wise than these big machines that when they die, I've lost how many points in my army versus a lot less if I take a unit. So.
Yeah. So, fun-wise, probably the war beasts and the war...
They're cool.
War machine or war jacks are more fun to play. Mm. But if you want to win and you don't have a unit and you're playing somebody with a unit or units, you seem to be at a disadvantage. So I played the first game and I didn't have a unit. And then I got swarmed by a buffed unit.
Mm.
And...
Which could come back from the dead.
which could come back from the dead. It was... I mean, I had a... The feat was, they could come back from the dead unless you wiped out all of them.
Yeah, and there were 10 of them.
Yeah, and I had a pretty decent feat, so I can't complain about the warcaster versus warlock ability, because mine was pretty cool as well.
It was just a good
game. But then when we flipped it and I played that unit, and basically swarm the warjacks with that unit, and he's trying, my opponent's trying to kill the unit, and I'm doing all the buffs and doing exactly what happened to me, and they can't, you can't do it. You can't kill them off. And yeah, you put enough of those troopers on a warjack and buff them up, that warjack's going down.
You know, I went to,
like, even the heavy warjack was on his last legs after one round of combat.
Yeah. Ripped his arms off, so yeah.
Yeah, one of his arms was ripped off, and they did the trample, which was pretty cool to watch, but then you're like, yeah, and you're going down next time.
We're still around.
Yeah. I'm still standing.
I went to a one magic tournament once, and I just got knocked out in the first round because the guy had a really great combo and just destroyed my deck. And I remember afterwards, my friend was consoling me. He says, you know, there's no shame in losing to a really good combo. That's just how it goes. Like that. And I think same situation there. But that's the thing. Like, for me, I would prefer to focus on, like, the tactics, how to move my units, how to use them effectively, rather than which cards combined with which cards to make a better thing. That's why I say I prefer Warhammer to this. But that said, that could be a huge selling point.
Oh, absolutely. If like somebody, magic, like, figures out the combo.
Yeah.
Or do they call it synergy? What's the word they let
you some, like some, use? Some says, sometimes, well, I don't know. Like, I would call it a combo.
Yeah. Like, I would call it a combo, but I heard synergy thrown around. You know, I don't want to, like,
I think, well, just I think,
assault maybe somebody copyrighted.
I think what happened, Lyle, is, like, after we played the first couple games in Mark 1 rules, we went on the forums and were kind of discussing it. And in the first version of the rules, combos were a lot more restrictive.
Okay.
Meaning that sort of the lists were very specific because certain combos only work with certain models.
Right.
So by taking a certain warcaster, you pretty much had to take this unit because the combo only worked with that unit.
Oh, I remember
and it
now.
Made them super badass. Yeah. And we were kind of arguing that you have all this choice and it's meaningless because this is the best thing to take.
Mm-hmm. Yes.
Your choices dictate what you have to put in the army. What I've seen in Mark II is, yeah, there's still combos, but the combos are a lot more open. A lot of things say target unit rather than this specific unit.
This is true. I did that.
So
now that you said that, I remember.
I would still call them combos. Other people would call them synergy. But I found you have a lot more choice in designing the new sort of Mark II lists, like, than in designing the old Mark I list. Like, I can actually take certain units because I think they're cool and still have them be effective on the battlefield because they can synergize or combine with other effects.
Hmm. So, I think that makes a case if you're going to do limited or introducing the game to people, maybe do the battle boxes. Because not only is it's a limited number of models, but it's also Warjack versus Warjack or Warbeast versus Warbeast. And then introduce like a unit to each.
Which is probably what I should have done.
Yeah.
It's kind of just like when we're discussing, I don't know. Like,
yeah, I still like see that units or having that edge when you have a buff. Because I was looking at when I was playing a Signar and I had no units. There was the snipe ability,
right?
Which is okay to give it to one of your warjacks, and I had two with ranged weapons. Mm-hmm. But certainly, if I had a unit of ranged troopers, I definitely would have used snipe all the time because I would have been adding to the range of 5, 6, 7, 8 models.
Yeah.
Whereas the other one would have been adding the range to one
model. Right.
No, and just any way you slice it is like you're getting more chances to hit. And you're getting an opportunity to hit more things.
But I could see the argument. I played as Kedor.
Yeah.
Their jacks have humongous armor values, like 20 points for it. And it might be hard for a shooting unit to get through that armor. So I could see the argument where you might need a bigger gun to go against something.
Oh, no, I could see that, but...
Yeah. But 9 times out of 10. In general, yeah.
Yeah, in general, the units, if you have a buff and you had a choice, you'd buff the unit.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
It's like +2 to the one guy or +2 to these 10
guys. +2 to the 10 guys. Because even if I'm firing at a Kador Jack, some of these guys are going to roll higher than a 20.
Yeah.
But I actually probably should have done battle box only combats. It's kind of...
Might have went quicker as well.
And it might.
I was one of the ones, we were locked into like a 4-hour game. I think both of us, we're kind of taking it, not super seriously.
No, you were super serious. Are you sure? Really? I'll measure it first.
What's slightly less than super? Kind of? Partially?
But yeah, there probably were more. Maybe because we were also isolated. Not with the camaraderie. Yeah, so it's like, just the man against man.
It was weird because like me and Tom were sitting there. It's like, oh, I forgot what to do. Ah, yeah, go for it. Go ahead and roll it like that. And I look over you guys. You're staring at the board.
It's like, yeah, Wayne, we need another ruling here. This jackass on the table. He's trying to pull this stunt. Is that legal?
I don't think they're having fun.
But I was going to say, like, from my own perspective, having played the Battlebox games when we tried Mark 1, I kind of found them limiting because you only have Warjacks and a Warcaster or Warlocks.
At least the first game, maybe.
I probably should have
just
done
to
that.
Get the basics. And I think what happened with in the first game, it's just like a first game. Like Matt had never played it before,
right?
And I'd played it.
You're the only person here who had played it before.
Yeah, and ages ago, so just forgot all the rules. So there's a lot of rules questions on top of, but just like maybe limited to number, and then number of units or models that you were playing with. Have maybe a very quick game, basically a beatdown, and then a second game where you're introducing more stuff.
Perhaps I should have done that. The other thing it was, again, the models
the
you're limited
versus
to.
The War Machine was actually okay.
Really? Okay. That was one of the things I was worried about.
In that I didn't find that confusing.
Nor I.
I don't think anybody found that confusing, and it was nice to see the two sides and how they manipulated both the Fury for Hordes and the Focus for War Machine. So that was pretty cool.
Yeah, and you know, come to think of it, when you did explain the rules for it, it wasn't that hard. I mean, we've had board game explanations that go far longer than that.
StarCraft.
Yeah, that's the one that comes to mind, yeah. But, the basic rules are pretty easy to get.
Is it the basic rules, but then when you start, it's like everything, like every movement, everything.
Yeah. Right. There's one thing,
I should say, I'm kind of out of miniatures games in general, just because of the time and the costs involved. And one big miniature company has restricted internet sales, so it's tough to, like, they're not letting like a company like Maelstrom Games ship to Japan.
Right.
So, if I can't buy it from Maelstrom Games, why am I going to buy it?
Right.
Games Workshop. But, yeah, there's a lot of stuff I don't miss. And one of it is, like Yujiro said, busting out the tape measure. And, yeah, sure, you could just be, oh, whatever, close enough. But then sometimes, yeah, you do get into the, oh, is that six inches?
Oh, come on, that's too far.
Is that six inches? Really, you could do that?
Yeah, I feel bad about it, too. You like, when the guy's measuring from the, get to the front of your base there. Oh, that's there. One guy thinks it's in, one guy thinks it's out.
I think, yeah, more than any other game, more so than a role-playing game or a board game, you kind of where's the line? You know, I don't want to be like anal about it, but man, it does not look like he can charge.
Yeah.
So you kind of
I'm sorry, that charge was not 10 inches. Come on.
You're like, I want to be a good sport, but
I also want to win.
Well, it's not even about a win. It's like kind of the rules, and it's like somebody goes, well, you didn't do that, and you're like, well, did you think I want to cheat?
Yeah.
I think it lends itself to those kind of things more than the other games.
Oh, it does.
The role-playing game is very cooperative and everybody's...
And there's people can argue. Officiator as well in a role-playing game. In this one, it's you versus the guy.
Well, no, you had an officiator too. Me.
But that's the thing. Like, you were explaining rules, but you weren't making rules calls.
No, he was making rules calls.
I had to for their game. Like, over on one side of the room, it's kind of like, oh, okay, what's the rule? What happens when I do this? Oh, this happens. Okay, thanks. Over here is like, yeah, can I get a ruling? Is that in range? Come on. He can hit me? What the hell? Like,
did you open his throat with a 1-inch sword?
Jeez. Yeah, there's a couple of, can we get a ruling? Okay, now. Okay, we got a ruling on that one. Now we're going to need a ruling on this one. Because it was just kind of a two-part ruling.
Like, wait. So if I'm behind this thing, it doesn't grant cover? Come on.
Okay, well, that was kind of dumb. He was standing behind a rock bigger
than
himself. That
was actually my second game where I was being more easygoing. So
can you imagine the first game?
Are you kidding me? Well, maybe it's just me. Yeah.
No, I think.
No, I think games like these bring out everyone's like inner rules.
Yeah, you were really combative on the other side.
I was pretty I didn't mind if you like retconned it.
That was completely satirical.
Oh,
yeah,
okay.
Yeah, dude, I've never seen your blood up. Oh, you killed my troll with assassin. Okay,
I lose. Oh, good game.
Oh, I didn't know the rules, so it's like my fault. So. Yeah, whatever, you know.
Nah, I still say the odds were stacked against you. pretty badly.
No, but still, I mean, part of the fun is trying to figure out, you know, how to win in such a situation. Mm-hmm. You know, it's like, what should I have done? What can I do next game? Yeah, that's why I still think the game's fun, even if, mm-hmm. you know, the odds are against you.
Oh, there's a lot of calm, even in the more heated games. There's a lot of,
a lot of conversation going on.
Oh, absolutely. And like you talk about
a lot of the conversation was only about like three words. Yes. No.
No, no. Do that. Like, oh, yeah, you know, if you'd done that, you probably would have.
Yeah.
Or if you'd done that. The tactics consisted of approach opponent's army, fight.
Yeah.
May the best man win.
Yeah, right. I did try to lay out those. As I said, you suggested, Lyle, and I thought it was a good suggestion to try and sort of inject some of the background or the flavor into the games rather than just having a big free-for-all. Mm-hmm. And so I had kind of, I designed little sort of scenarios that kind of had not a story to them exactly, but kind of I put factions together that would have a reason to fight.
Yeah.
And I tried to have the scenario objective kind of match a little story and kind of.
Well, nobody knew the stories. Yeah.
But I even like wrote up like a little
blurb.
I had people randomly draw their faction and written up a little blurb that sort of described the objectives and kind of somewhat of a narrative style, and people didn't like that.
Well, it wasn't a matter of not liking it, but it didn't make sense. Like, I didn't know any background, so you said you're collecting these corpses. Your emperor has ordered you to collect these corpses in these mountains. I don't know the mountains. I don't know why the corpses are special. So I have some names, but yeah.
Okay.
Which is not really default you for, because, I mean, how are you supposed to explain, you know, a book's worth of background to me on a single note page?
And expect us to care.
Yeah, exactly. Yeah. So, I mean, I don't think there's really much you could have done.
Well, I could have sat you all down for an hour and said, lecture the first Iron Kingdoms. Yeah. Exactly. Which is why I kind of didn't do it, but.
Okay, quick quiz on location. Okay,
where's Signar? So, the Shard Farm Mountains are here?
No, it's not there.
Yeah. The capital of Kador is what?
Yeah.
Did you say Corsica?
Yeah. All right. Never roll dice in my game.
Yeah.
Yeah. There's the door. You can find the door because you couldn't find Kaido on the map.
It's the biggest fucking one of them. You couldn't find it. Get out. So then I lined up the jacks in front of you. Okay. Which one is Crix?
No.
That's Signar. Get out. You know.
I like the idea and the concept, but and this might say a real deficiency in how I play War Machine or Hordes, in that it was kind of like control different parts of the board.
Yeah.
Which if we were playing Warhammer or 40K, Warhammer 40K, I can understand that where you send off units, but I think a big part of War Machine and Hordes is to stay in within your Warcaster or Warlock's control area.
Right.
Is it control area?
Yes, it's control area.
Yeah. So that doesn't lend itself to go off scattering your army, which for me consisted of three warjacks and one of Warcaster. Like, didn't kind of lend itself to go scatter my guys to go seize different parts of the board.
Yeah. I think it might have had something to do with the size of the boards, but I experienced a similar thing. I had a squad of troops and I ran them up the middle really quickly. And they had a special stealth thing so they couldn't be shot at very easily.
Yeah.
But with that, I drew out his warjacks to come after them because I held the other guys back, and then I used some charge to get at his warcaster.
Yeah.
So I had the board set up. I was just going to kill his warcaster, and that'd be it. Mm-hmm. But again, the special powers locked my guys in place, and then he used another power that let his guys charge and then took out my troops. So it was kind of, I felt kind of bad. I won tactically, or I was in a great position tactically where I could have won, but I lost on special powers.
Well, you could argue that.
And that is part of the game, but, you know, it's...
Well, I think Lyle was going to say, like, you could argue that your opponent kind of beat you.
Beat you on tactics as well, because they used the special powers.
Yeah.
Like, no, I was stunned on how effective the combo was that Matt used. And I did the same thing when I played them. I was like, that's pretty good. That's a pretty decent combo. Yeah. And, yeah, I'll play them against... And, hey, wow, it worked again.
Maybe I'm just biased because I'm used to 40K.
Well, I was going to say, to be fair, we were playing on small tables because even though I've moved to a bigger place, I still have a small play area. So we were not playing on kind of the regulation size 4 feet by 4 feet boards, which is what we kind of should have been playing on. We were playing on much smaller boards. And yeah, the splitting people up and holding control points would actually, I thought it would work because the boards were so much smaller. Mm-hmm. I mean, you measure the command, the control radius of some of these warcasters, and they're pretty much taken up the entire board mm-hmm. on some of them almost. Not all of them, but.
Yeah, I think we were on the board where it actually didn't.
Yeah, because with, you were on the board where I actually turned it lengthwise, yeah. giving you sort of a wider deployment zone rather than everyone else who had to go sort of across. But
well, you know, this since it was my second impression, I say, would I play it again? Sure.
Yeah, I'd be up for another day like this.
Absolutely. Would I go out and buy the game? No.
Yeah.
Yeah, exactly. Yeah.
And maybe that's for first impressions also. Maybe for a miniatures game, they've really got to talk. They really got to sell you the first time. Mm-hmm. But especially on that second chance, and I think you might sit down and you might fall in love with a board game the second time. You might be willing to try it. Or even shell out the money because you're only going to spend like 30 to 60 or for a real deluxe $100.
Right.
But if you're familiar with a miniatures game and the time and financial investment involved.
Both are substantial.
Yeah, and they're very substantial. Like when you play it the second time, like I actually didn't want to like the game playing it again because I didn't want to fall in love with this game and then go, oh, wow, maybe just one battle box and a yeah. unit and then just be, you know, throwing money away.
That is why I have so many models. It's like, oh, you know, because I unfortunately have, like, all the faction books. Yeah. So I can kind of sit there and say, oh, wow, these two units together are going to be awesome, which means I got to get some of them. And
like you said, like, it was a curse of without choice with it. I have all the faction books, unfortunately.
Well, it is. It is kind of a curse when you look at it. It's like, man, like, oh, look at all these
things. Rich uncle died and just gave me all of these books, and now I have to buy the armies.
Well, that sometimes
they turned up. They came with the apartment.
Right. Yeah. I tried throwing them out, but they were there the next day.
Yeah, yeah. They just rose from the dead again. Oh my god! But that is well. Yeah, I mean, I realize people could just say, "Stop spending money," and you know.
Yeah, but I guess if I was going to sit down to a role playing game,
I understand. Yeah, I probably would, for 10 years. It's all good.
Yeah. I want to like this again. Mm. You know, I didn't have a good experience the first time. Maybe it was the group. Maybe it was that particular adventure, but hey, you know, I don't mind spending $30 to buy a book and then play with you guys and have some fun.
Yeah.
But miniatures game, yeah, I hope I hate this game. I don't want to spend hundreds and hundreds of dollars because I fell in love with it again.
That was actually kind of what,
not and really same what, with not, magic. You're like, when you're out of magic, you're like, I'm going to stay out.
Yeah.
I'm not going to go into, I'm not even going to look at the new.
I've been very proud of myself. I have looked at a few of the new cards.
Oh, that's right. I've
gotten more than one email from you. I just bought.
No, I haven't.
The starter boxes.
I have not bought any magic cards since I quit.
You're good, man.
That's so that hasn't prevented me from looking at them.
He's quit more than once.
Oh. No, I haven't.
Oh.
Yes, you have.
Well, how many times have you thrown your cards away?
Oh, just one time. That's a big quit.
Yeah, when I moved, the entire Magic card collection just went in the trash.
That's just so wasteful.
I know, because, I wasn't going to ship them back home.
Maybe if you had just a penny for them, sell them off somewhere.
They weren't really valuable enough to do that. And plus, it was kind of like, you know, when you quit smoking, you don't try and give your cigarettes away to other people, you know? Granted, cigarettes aren't worth,
and like, actually, if you have a carton and friends who smoke, yeah, you would.
All right. Does anyone play Magic?
No, but all right. There's eBay, Yahoo.
Yeah. I was moving. I didn't want to
putting
hold
cigarettes
on
up on eBay wouldn't work, but cards.
I was going to say part of the reason why I kind of did this podcast is, the second impression, and as Lyle said, kind of do games deserve a second chance after you've played them once and you kind of don't really like them?
Yeah, I've played StarCraft like 5 times now.
What?
But the board game,
yeah.
I think we only played it twice.
No. 3 times, I think.
I think you played it twice.
Oh, okay. I did give it a second chance.
Begrudgingly.
Yeah.
It still sucked.
I didn't enjoy it all that much the second time. But you know what? If it was a game day and one of you guys pulled out StarCraft and everybody said, let's play StarCraft, I wouldn't go sit in a corner or anything like that.
You'd sit there. Yeah, I'll move here.
Yeah, but you'd be kind of resigned that you're not going to like the game. You'll enjoy the company.
Mm-hmm.
And the good conversation.
Who wouldn't enjoy the company?
Sir Grashmar!
But yeah, you wouldn't like the game.
Yeah.
So but it's the same as like if Wayne busts out War Machine again.
Mm-hmm.
I wouldn't mind if it was like a shorter game. Because I did say the second game, I don't want to play another 4 hours.
Yeah, well, I didn't force you to take 4 hours on that game.
Yeah, I know.
Rest was all finished in two, man.
Yeah, yeah. They were like halfway done their second game. We're like, while you and Matt are still finishing up.
Tape measure that again.
That is not 5 inches. That's 5.5. But, I don't know. War Machine definitely isn't one of the games that you can just kind of bust out on. Like, people come over and you're like, oh, let's play War Machine. And you're
The rules actually are, because it is so, like, a role-playing game, yeah, they come, yeah, 300-page rule books, 500-page rule books, but it is very much got that spirit of make it up.
Yeah.
Or if you don't know a rule, who cares, just make it up. Roll a die. And I know the miniatures game, they always write in, you know, if you disagree about something, just roll a die.
Yeah. Right.
That's not
that doesn't happen. Because then you're like, oh, I lost that die roll too. I mean, yeah.
And in democracy, what the people want is what will happen.
Yeah. I was just thinking more like a role playing game. You could,
but miniature games really rules involved.
I was also thinking more heavy. Of it's rules heavy. You also need a lot of equipment. So in other words, yeah, with a role playing game, you need like dice. Maybe you need a battle mat and figures. But like some role playing games, all you need is the group.
And your dice. Imagination.
Exactly. And your imagination. And your imagination. Man, could that have sounded any cheesier? Maybe. But
you know, I kind of disagree with saying that you can't just bust it out. Like, I mean, there was the one game, but most of our games finished up in about 2 hours, which is not any longer than it would take for a quick board game, and far less than some of the larger ones.
Yeah, you could have played 4 War Machine games in the time to play one game of TI3.
Jeez, TI3, you could play 20. But really, like, it definitely would be a pain to carry all those figures over to
which is place. Why we had it here.
Exactly. In my place. But doing it here, why not bust it out?
Well, I was going to... Okay, that's fair enough. I remember when I first kind of pitched the idea to you guys, Chris, you were a little... not skeptical, but you complained a tiny bit in that you didn't get to build your list.
Oh, well, no, that was just... when you were talking about it, I thought that you had a lot of them, so I thought, oh, that's really cool. I'd like to try this and this and this, and then you said no. So, oh, okay, never mind.
Gotcha. Yeah, sorry. It was only kind of based on what I had available.
Which, no fault there. I don't expect you to spend a lot of money on my account.
No, I actually did place an order before the game. So. Yeah, that's why you had some of the armies that arrived, because the orders just didn't come in time. I'll have to do this then. But so if we did do it again, would you sort of, if I handed you the book and said, we're playing this point game, make a list, would you want to do that? Or would you just say, you know what, you can build one for me?
It depends. If it were a 1 or 2 day beforehand, maybe I just wouldn't have the time to do it for me. But if I had the list for a week or something, had time to look it over and read up, then
I think you need to know the rules. Because then you kind of like screw yourself over. Like you build like a bad army.
Yeah.
Because even though the points balance. The same.
Right.
Balance out, yeah. You build.
There's obvious difference in armies, yeah.
Well, like, yeah, I can see
all light warjack army. Mm-hmm. You're like, oh, these all sounded pretty cool, and wow.
This one had an awesome picture.
Yeah.
Yeah, or you're like, and I realize I can't give them all focus. Or I only have so much focus to distribute. Or like,
you need a warcaster?
Although I'm flipping through here, I want to play Alistair Kane.
I actually have the model.
Oh, what? Why didn't I get him?
Because I
would have totally, that totally would have helped me out in that one hit battle.
Well, yeah, I know. Because his feat is
teleport.
Teleport. And his feat is he makes a ranged attack against every single enemy model in his his control zone.
That's pretty cool.
That's what his feat is. So yeah, it's like, okay.
Bring on him. Bring a
giant Scorn infantry unit. Boom! Yeah, come back from the dead from that. But.
Yeah, that would have been helpful.
And you didn't let us play him against the Scorn because...
I thought it would be unfair.
Yeah, in the end.
Well, okay.
I think having Scorn rape Signar 2 games in a row is unfair.
All right. I think I was actually worried about the small board size, which is also why I had the objectives. I thought ranged weapons would completely dominate in a matchup because the board size was so small. So that's why I was kind of came up with those objectives to encourage people to go for other ones, and that's also why I didn't put in that many ranged units. I suppose I could have. So I was, that was Chris. I was curious if you would do the same, Idra, if you would if
if you had the time to read the book, if I said, okay, we're going to play on this date, make a list, would you make a list? Oh, well, I thought it would be up your alley since you're kind of the, kind of like me, like the number cruncher and like sit there looking at the book like,
I do research online and it's like, oh, so with the Scorn Army, if I go with this combo and it would be like, can I pull it off with this list? It's like, oh, scratch that combo.
Don't give it to him. I need his brain for Savage Worlds.
All right. And how about you, Lyle? Or would you just say, give me a list?
Depends what I was doing. Mm. Like, if I had some free time, then sure, give me the list. But I would also need to know what models you kind of have. Mm-hmm. So then it involves you sending us a list of what you have.
Right.
There's no sense going, here's the ultimate list, and you have none of them. Yeah. Wow, that was a waste of time.
Of these five models, choose four.
Yeah.
Of the three warcasters, I picked the one that you didn't have. Mm. Oh, okay. Yeah. All right. Or I make a list for an army you don't even have. It's like,
yeah, it's like, yeah, sorry, I don't have any of that faction. Yeah. Mm-hmm. All right. Yeah, actually, when I set up the original kind of message to all you guys, I put a blurb about each faction, and I said, which ones are you interested in? And Tom said, yeah, I'm interested in Trollbloods and Retribution of Syra. And I'm like, great. The two factions I don't have any models for currently. Let me rephrase that. Here are the factions I do have models for. Please choose one of these.
It's kind of odd why you would put the factions you don't have and say which one you guys want to play.
I was trying to give a flavor.
Yeah.
Of what the factions were kind of good at or not good at. And, you know, hindsight being 2020, why list ones that are unavailable?
I chose my factions. Would you like chocolate, vanilla, yeah, strawberry? Oh, wow, vanilla sounds really good. Okay, so, we only have chocolate.
Yeah, that's essentially what I did.
Would you like chocolate? I guess. Yeah.
I just wanted to know what you liked.
Yeah.
I just wanted to disappoint you.
Yeah, it's like, no, I just wanted to know, if you did have a choice, which one would it be?
All right, vanilla. Okay, but chocolate okay? Yeah, okay.
It's like asking an inmate where he wants to go on his day off.
Oh, I didn't think I was being that much of a dick. I tried to couch it. I did apologize. Oh, sorry, I shouldn't have done that. Here's what you can pick from. Which one?
Well, worst case, you can always let us use, like, proxies, can't you? I mean, worst case.
That's both, or maybe that's one of the weaknesses of tying the unit card to the model. Meaning, if you don't buy the model, you probably don't have the unit card. So, if you have the faction book, you have the rules for it.
I thought you had a bunch of cards that you didn't have units for.
No.
You can buy the unit packs, can't you?
You can buy the cards separately. Kind of like, if you have a one or two main factions, yeah, it's useful to know what your opponents might have, but I generally wouldn't buy a faction deck for factions I don't collect. They're not expensive, but kind of, why do I need really to know that information? Plus, I have a...
Because you need to know what your opponents might have.
You do, but I already have all the faction books, so...
Right on.
What do you guys think of the miniature? The actual quality of the models?
Quality of the sculpts, rather the sculpts. Than their percentage of assemblage and paint quality.
Oh, because paint quality of assemblage was awesome. Sorry to go on the thing you said, let's not talk about
mine. Well, I was only thinking because, unfortunately, most of the models I had you guys play with, they were unpainted. So.
Yeah, but like the magnet thing, that's so good.
Oh, the Omnijacks.
Yeah.
Yeah, that was a nice touch. Having magnetizing the limbs so you could swap them out. Yeah. And it was also fun when we were playing. Like,
you and Chris were like, and arm system down! And like, the arm pops off. Yeah. Like, I remember looking over at Chris's table one time. I'm like, dude, why is that jack in pieces lying on the board? He's like, let me fix that for you. And he's like, no, it's a wreck marker. Don't touch it. I'm like, sorry.
It's awesome. I had the head laying off the side. It's cool. Yeah. But as far as the model, I didn't really pay that close attention to some of the side... Model beside us, but the Kador, I keep forgetting the name.
Yeah, Kador.
Kador was, those are really cool. They looked like giant armored football players.
Yeah. Yeah, the big
giant. Big stubby guns on them and axes. Wow, it was cool. The, let's see, the Signar ones? Was that the one you were playing, Lyle?
Yep. Yeah.
Yeah,
the first game.
Those ones are pretty cool. I looked at the art in the book and I didn't like it all that much. It looked almost like the Imperium from Warhammer. Mm. I thought kind of eh. But the models themselves were pretty cool looking.
You played as both trolls and Bricks, didn't you draw?
Trolls, I thought, well, probably because it was a faction you didn't have until very recently. Mm. I'm guessing you didn't have much variety, so I didn't pay much attention to them, but...
Yeah, the trolls didn't seem to match so much. Like, there was kind of the style of the rest.
Mohawks and, like, one guy that was bald, I think.
Well, not with each other, I mean, with, like, the rest of the armies. Because there were all these machines, and there were lots of really good detail, like bolts and rivets on them and stuff. But the trolls... They were supposed to be big monstrous creatures, but they were still kind of humanoid creatures, they looked almost like they're from a different game. So, not to say that it was poor quality. They looked really good, but kind of didn't seem to match the rest of the flavor. But,
Yeah, they kind of look like big babies.
Or, yeah.
Yeah, they are
a bit... like big putty men.
Yeah, they are kind of comical compared to the other ones, especially when you...
I find some of the proportions on them a bit much. Like even though Kato or the Warjacks look pretty badass, in a sense, but they also look a little bit silly.
Whereas the
arms would just snap up right off, right. or the legs would not be able to support that weight. The Warp Wolf, nobody saw that where the waist is so outrageously small.
You're talking about the Extreme Warp Wolf sculpt.
Oh, the Extreme Warp
Wolf. Which I agree
with. Extremely proportion.
Extremely laughable.
Yeah, it is. Yeah. Kind of extremely laughable.
When the Kador ones, they have this little tiny, tiny head on top of this gigantic body, and one of the moves is a headbutt. How does that work?
Yeah. When you imagine that, it just seems like the head would just crush it. Yeah.
What happened to my jack? I tried to headbutt something.
Well, it's like a nose butt. It was so tiny, yeah.
And I suppose they had like a pointy chin.
But yeah, chin butt.
The units, I think the Menoth units are pretty ridiculous looking.
Oh, the giant pulp hats.
Yeah. The Scorn units looked alright.
I think
they're a bit vicious looking, but yeah. I think some of the units, what, the Senoneth or something?
Oh, you're talking about their big, heavy armored...
Plus spikes.
Cataphracts.
Yeah, yes, there we go.
Yeah.
What a great name. Cataphracts.
Yeah, sorry.
I love the Sephiroth and their cataphracts.
Yeah, they are quite... Yeah, they're quite big in terms of armor, and they do... You kind of look at them, and you're like, how could someone wearing that much armor move, you know?
And I know, like, the Games Workshop games, they are a bit ridiculous, too. And the swords are as big as... And it just seems like War Machine's trying to, like, oh, yeah? Oh, we can take that.
See that sword? How about this sword?
Check out his hammer.
Yeah. Yeah, I don't know, I think...
Some of them are, like, fantastic sculpts.
The sculpts are getting better, actually. Yeah. Like, some of the earlier sculpts, like, I actually have one of the Signar Warcasters.
They're doing well Victoria with plastic. Haley. I thought the Striker plastic, I guess, comes in the battle box.
Yeah, I think
that's pretty decent for a plastic leader.
Yeah. I didn't use the Sorsha. I didn't use the Kador plastic.
Oh, high heels? What was with the high heels on her?
All the chicks had high heels.
Well, it's mostly the chicks. How is she supposed to?
And she walks in the snow with high heels.
Yeah, right. You didn't look at Makita closely, but she has high heels too.
Yeah, the undead crazy.
I didn't even know she was female.
Cyborg thing.
Like Matt was like, she is no he she. Like, oh, it is a woman. Yeah, okay, she.
Yeah, mummified face and boobs. There we go. There's a combo.
They're not mummified. It's just supposed to be rather just very gaunt. Scorn's supposed to be very gaunt.
No, but it's like. Brown, stripey, like...
Not attractive.
Yes. All right. I didn't say she was attractive, but Mortanabra, the Crix Warcaster, she didn't have high heels.
No.
She had billions of little spider legs. Yeah. Yeah.
One of the Crix...
Oh, you're talking about Denigra.
Okay.
Cool.
Right. But yeah, thanks a lot, man. It was really good.
Yeah, thank you. And I actually mean that.
Oh, thank you.
As opposed to
all the other times you said thank you and you didn't mean it?
So whenever you say thank you and you don't follow that up with, and I actually mean this one, or sorry, and I actually mean this, then it's all lies. I love you, and I actually mean this one. Last 6 months, I've just been kind of saying.
Or even worse, hey, you want to play War Machine? Yeah, sure. And I mean it this time.
Great. All right, so there you have it, a review on War Machine and the interesting revelation about Yujiro. Check us out online, www.idlereadhands.com, idleredhands.com. Post in the forum. Tell us if you play War Machine, if you like it, you don't like it, or if we're right or we're horribly wrong. Like us on Facebook. Send us an email, info@idleredhands.com. And, we'll see you next time.
Thanks.
Bye.
See ya.
See ya.